Myrtle Beach is the beach. 60 miles of bright sand, water, and a wealth of wonderful music playing day and night. You can step into a simple beach bar and discover a surprising level of exciting musical talent. A place to kick back and groove to the enticing soundtrack of the most unexpected vacations around. With nothing but good vibes floating through the warm ocean air. Plan your own music-filled trip to America's Jukebox at visitmyrtlebeach.com.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.
Hey, it's Jack. Before we begin the show, I want to talk to you about the All of Us Research Program. Hispanics are the largest ethnic minorities in the USA, up to 18% of the population. However, we are underrepresented in research studies, only 10%. This gap means researchers know less about our health. Hispanics deserve to be represented in studies so we can know more about our health and be as healthy as possible. As our population grows, so should our participation. Create a better future by participating. Just visit joinallofus.org/highly relevant. Welcome to episode 158 of the Highly Relevant Podcast, a show focused on Latinx pop culture and the artists and stories that are reshaping and influencing mainstream entertainment. I'm your host, Jack Rico, and before I get to my featured guest this week, which is Maximiliano Contenti, I wanted to talk to you about this Spotify experience I had. So Spotify called me about a month ago now, and they reached out to me because they wanted me to host an episode of Music and Talk Unlocked. Now, this is a feature that Spotify has that they bought from Anchor FM. So Anchor FM is an app that you could create your own podcast from your phone. So Spotify ended up buying them and acquired a lot of the features that they had. And they believe that this is one of the really coolest features that the audio industry has, which is the ability to kind of just create your own shows where you use conversations and songs to kind of create a unique listening experience. So what they wanted to do is they wanted to create a mini series based on the format that people can listen to as a sample and then try and do. So they hit me up and we talked about what it was going to be like. We recorded it, then we scratched it, we re-recorded it, and what you're going to be listening to. Here, I'll give you a snippet of what the episode sounds like. It's called Beat by Beat, where we're deconstructing the song of J Balvin's Mi Gente. Hola, what's up, everyone? My name is Jack Rico, host of Highly Relevant, a Latinx podcast, and Brown and Black, a podcast on race and pop culture. Big ups to Spotify for inviting me to host a show that embraces the Spanish language and celebrates our Spanish-speaking music. On this episode of Music and Talk Unlocked, I'm going to be taking a deep dive into a Spanish language song you've surely heard of. Today, we're going to be taking a look at the origins, lyrics, and iterations of one of the most prolific Latinx songs of all time. Today, we're unpacking 2017 smash hit Mi Gente by J Balvin and Willie Williams.
Super cool. I mean, I think when you get into the podcast industry for the very first time or any industry, the idea is to kind of, if you're ambitious at all, the idea is to get to the top of your industry. Why do people do this? Why do people care? Listen, some people are just built to reach the top of a mountain. The others aren't. And that's okay. No one's pressuring you. But some people like to do it. I'm one of those guys. I want to reach the top of the mountain all the time. For me, in the podcast industry, when Spotify calls you, which to me is the top of the mountain, you want to be a part of it. So on this episode, I talked to Uruguayan filmmaker Maximiliano Contenti, whose new horror film, The Last Matinee, is in theaters right now.
Mi hija se queda encargada de todo.
Cerran todo bien, eh? We had a chance to discuss the 90s inspiration behind the film, as well as the influences for the giallo and the slasher films of the 80s and the 90s as well. And we also talk about and tackle colorism in Uruguayan and Argentine cinema, how does that relate to American cinema today? Plus, how does his generation's filmmakers feel about the Hollywood industry? Do they aspire to be a part of it, or are they rebelling against it? But before we get to Maximiliano, it's time I give you my weekly recap of the top Latinx pop culture headlines in a segment I like to call Jacked In. Let's begin with the top movie, TV, and music news of the week. John Leguizamo joins Anya Taylor-Joy and Ralph Fiennes in the psychological thriller The Menu. Bad Bunny tops Billboard Latin Music Awards with the most amount of nominations. Aubrey Plaza to star and produce in Emily the Criminal. Judy Rey is to star in the Lifetime movie Torn from Her Arms. Jamie Lynn Sigler joins the cast of ABC's drama series Big Sky. Lana Parrilla joins Anthony Rapp in the indie drama Scrap. Melissa Fumero will star in the comedy Bar Fight. Spain will serve as the backdrop for Wes Anderson's next feature starring Scarlett Johansson. Robert Rodriguez's El Rey Network will now move from Univision to the Roku channel, and the Museum of Broadway will open summer 2022. And in tech and social media news, Twitter is testing a newsletter subscription button on profile pages. Netflix is adding support for spatial audio on iPhone and iPad. The Spectrum TV app is back in Roku's channel store after being yanked. Google will add privacy steps for teenagers on its search engine and YouTube. Facebook and TikTok have banned the Taliban from their social networks. Spotify and the WWE Inc. exclusive podcast deal. And YouTube creators can now make $10,000 per month for making shorts. First of all, felicitaciones, congratulations on you making a movie. I say to people, anytime that anyone can make a movie and release it to the world to think about it, it's a miracle. It's a miracle. So you've made a miracle, and wanted to talk about that miracle. It's called The Last Matinee, Al Morir La Matinee.
Es grabado lo de la policía? No.
Maxi, esta es una película donde tú le das homenaje a the Italian movies of the Giallo, the slasher films that we grew up in the 80s watching, like Michael Myers, Jason Voorhees, Freddy Krueger, on and on and on. Describe exactly what The Last Matinee is, and then let's get into why you decided to create a horror movie as your first film.
It came out of a necessity, in a way, the movie. I was working, I did other very, very independent films and documentaries, but I was working on what I will be like my first, international or more, professional film for a long time. And that didn't work out. I couldn't get the finance, and it was a drama. It wasn't a horror film, but my heart is in the genre. It comes naturally, and those were the short films and very indie films that I did. So yeah, once I said okay, I had to do something. I went back to an idea that happened when I was shooting. I was shooting a commercial in this theater, the theater that we shot, which is a very, very old, very special theater in the center of Montevideo.
And it was very haunting, correct?
It felt haunted. It felt like the mansion of The Shining. So I was shooting there this commercial for the movie day in Uruguay, which is a day for go watch movies, get discount tickets and stuff like that. And I was looking around and said, this place calls for a movie. So once I couldn't manage to make the other serious film that I was trying, I went back to this idea and started developing The Last Matinee. So that's how it came. It came from the location. This theater was the inspiration. And so later, it came naturally to be making this story in the 90s, because that was the last era, the last golden era of theater, the time that I fell in love with movies in those theaters, in that theater. So that all came together. And then, okay, which kind of horror should it be? Okay, which one came naturally? Okay, a slasher. And this, let's make it a really celebrational film about horror and about films and movie theaters.
Right, like Michael Jackson's Thriller. If you rewatch that music video again, there's these beautiful scenes that are very nostalgic and vintage of Michael Jackson sitting down at a movie theater, much like the way you had created the little boy who was watching the movie. But it was, I think that particular scene was much more evocative because it was a black man in a horror film that we had not really seen that skin color prevailed as a protagonist within these, you know, genres. But yeah, I mean, there was a lot of those influences for us of what your aesthetic, you know, did.
Yes. Yes, and now that you mentioned that, that Thriller was one right in, you know, in the back of my head all the time. That style and that John Landis music video or short film, yeah, very
it's
much.
A short film, yeah.
It is a short film, and yeah, I love that Thriller, the whole thing. But yeah, of course, it's a. The biggest, I think the biggest influence, of course, is the 80s slashers, but also the 90s slashers in a way combined, and especially the era and my experience as a kid in that time. It's a fantasy Montevideo in the 90s. It's a fantasy kind of, but also I wanted to keep it grounded in some reality, in some form. So I brought up commercials from that era. Anything that I could just pick up, magazines, everything, just it's filled with all those things.
So let me ask you a little bit about Uruguayan cinema. We know that Fede Alvarez is from there. He did Evil Dead and he shot up, you know, through science fiction and horror films. And that kind of like, you know, put Uruguay and Fede Alvarez sort of on the map in the modern era, I guess in the last 20 years or so. What's the culture of Uruguayan cinema right now in 2021? Is it horror movie based? Is there a lot of movies being made?
Yeah, good question. It has evolved a lot from when I was a kid and I thought, okay, I gotta get out and then go to the States. But yeah, it has a lot more film funding for it. And when I started trying to make actual fantasy films, more genre-based films about 15 years ago, that wasn't possible with the film funding. And this is kind of like actually one of the first films that got some of that those fundings for a genre film, for a slasher, which is amazing. So it has evolved. It has more industry to it too. It works more. And now with the last year helped a lot to build up more industry with the series being shot there and all that. But still, for genre filmmaking, entertainment, more entertainment-based films and fantasy subjects, it's still hard. It's still tough. It takes time. But there's a lot of art house. I love art house. And there's a lot of those movies going on. And they're championed more because of the festivals and all that, the festival circuit for them. And there's a lot of great filmmaking and great filmmakers. And I think there's a lot of just talent for any kind of movie. So I think it needs to be a little more balanced. It has started already to be a little more balanced and help out also different expressions, because that nurtures the culture. And I think I really wanted to make a really Rioplatense kind of Uruguayan Rioplatense because of the Argentinian part. Film, horror film, in a very classic way, but it really rooted in that corner of the world, because it's a necessity. For me, it's a necessity. So that was the objective, in a way, because I know that, yeah, once you want to, you know, make a job out of this and make it just, you know, work it out. You had to get out a little bit. You had to move around.
You know, here in America, race is such a big component of content today. Watching your movie, obviously there's no black people, there's no indigenous people. The question is, do they exist within this universe? Do those types of, you know, I asked Woody Allen one day, how is it possible that you can make a New York film without black people or without Latinos? It exists just in a white Jewish context, you know, as if you go to New York and that's the movie you see. Did that play, did race ever play a role in casting for your movies? Or do you just do what the story that you want to do is?
Yeah, it plays. I think it plays. I think about it, but I think in visual terms more than anything. Creo que hay una parte, okay, hay una parte que estoy muy de acuerdo, que es que hay una parte que tiene que representarse y que creo que en esta historia simplemente no encontré el personaje como para darlo por una cuestión mía visual, pero no es por una cuestión de negación para nada. So it's just what happened in this story and how I conceived it in this story. I will think about it very much in depth in next projects, which I actually do. Still, there's in the movie being projected, there's some African Americans in the movie.
I'm sure you can have black people in the movie, but the complaint about black in cinema is that they're always the background, right? Never the antagonist. But now we're starting to have those conversations about colorism. We're starting to have that conversation about being white Latino and the consequences that has for representation for a black Latino. So for example, Brazil, which is mostly black, but yet doesn't see themselves represented in white cinema in Brazil. So it was just very interesting to kind of just, you know, touch on that subject with you.
And I agree with you. And I agree with you. And I think there's a lot of hidden resistance in and Argentina, mostly. I think it is hidden. Good question.
I did want to ask you about Hollywood. So a few years ago, I was talking to Gael Garcia Bernal. I asked him, don't you want to be a part of the mainstream as opposed to just doing Mexican cinema? I mean, isn't that the peak of this, of the industry for him? And he goes, like, why do I care about Hollywood? That's just a concept. It's just the style. And it was interesting to me how he diminished Hollywood, even though Hollywood has essentially created the style for cinema and been the most influential source of cinema throughout the entire world for the last 100 years. Not that Italian cinema hasn't, or Latin America cinema hasn't. What is your relationship with Hollywood? There's a group of people, of artists and creators, that just hate Hollywood. Ah, all the cliches, all the stereotypes, it's the same scenes. Look at this, it's so cheesy and corny. I hate Hollywood. You could see Hollywood a mile away. That's not real cinema. Yeah. So for the purists, I guess there's a problem. But for just a regular director that wants to make a living off of it, what is your relationship with Hollywood today? What is your generation's relationship with Hollywood today?
It's a really good question, because it's really mixed up. It's really mixed up, for sure. I think there's more rejection than approach to it. But there's also, in a way, because of how Uruguayans are wired and Argentinians too, that it's Hollywood legitimizes in a way, because they don't. But we are very much we don't care about what we do around us. It's how, I guess we're wired. It's not like I like the way the society is wired, but it's really very much this thing about, okay, if you get there mostly, except for Gael Garcia, which has a great point and kind of like, cut the chains of that mindset. But if you don't kind of reach, like in a sort of way, like the Fede Alvarez did or something like that, if you don't reach to that height or something, that sort of like, I guess, distribution. I don't know. It's not lit. You didn't get that. It's not legit. You didn't legitimize something. One part is that, and the other part says, it's shit. So, and we appreciate when a festival from Europe claps, a third world movie. Oh yeah, and about our problems. And yes, so it's very, very interesting point, because I think that there's a mix up in the two waves of thinking, and I don't know what's gonna come up of that. But there's a lot of filmmaking students growing up, eager to make films, and I think they're pulling more out of the Hollywood dogma than wanting to push in at this point. I think maybe the younger generations, I think they're rejecting more than appreciating, but I don't know, because the landscape has changed so much about producing with the series and with the streamers and all that. So it's all mixed up now, because it's making also art house is kind of mixed up with making the wide audience entertainment in the streaming platform. So it's, I have no idea what's gonna come up. I think it will be better to embrace both things. I was very much into, I study in Europe. I did scholarships and stuff in Rotterdam Film Festival in Amsterdam, and all those different views, which are really castrating of Hollywood. So I have those two points of views. I appreciate both in a way, the good and the bad of both. Maybe something better comes out from that reasoning in Uruguay or in Argentina. I think it's good to question yourself all the time about why are you doing what kind of movies you're doing. It's always good to be questioning. And just to close it up a little bit, this, I'm very much not into just making just one kind of movie. Mm-hmm. I'm always kind of like working on different kind of subjects. I'm finishing kind of like a musical documentary. I did a very weird, about an accident in the 70s that was covered up by the government. I did a documentary about that. It's called Blades, and it didn't get very much distribution for obvious reasons. So yes, I'm kind of all over the place. I'm not the best one to figure this out, because I kind of like, I like both things from both worlds. I don't know.
Maximiliano Contenti, the name of the movie is called The Last Matinee. It's in theaters now, and it's going to be on VOD, digital, and DVD on August 24th. Go check it out. It's called The Last Matinee. Maximiliano, muchísimas gracias por estar en el Highly Relevant Podcast.
Muchas gracias.
Before we continue with our music playlist, I want to talk to you about the All of Us Research Program. Now, as you know, Hispanic culture is pop culture. We are leaving our mark everywhere, from music to food to fashion. One place where we need to make an impact is scientific research. All of us want to include our voices in research so we have a better idea of how unique we are genetically and to see if we're prone to other diseases. Did you know individuals of Puerto Rican descent are roughly twice as likely to develop diabetes as someone with South American heritage? Join the revolution by participating in All of Us. Visit joinallofus.org/highlyrelevant. Just before I wrap up here, here are three Latin tracks you might want to add to your playlist this weekend. Que locura, J Balvin.
Que locura, mami, que locura. Los Viejos Vinagres, Los Auténticos Decadentes y Panteón Rococo. Todo y Nada, Playa Limbo.
That's it for episode 158 of the Highly Relevant Podcast. I'd like to thank Maximiliano Contenti for being on the show. And if you like what you heard, please share with your friends and have them subscribe and leave a review. It helps the show be heard by many more people. If you would like to get in touch with me, reach out on Twitter at Jack Rico Official, Instagram at Jack Rico, or YouTube at Jack Rico. With that said, I'm Jack Rico. See you next week on another episode of Highly Relevant.
Myrtle Beach is the beach. 60 miles of bright sand, water, and a wealth of wonderful music playing day and night. You can step into a simple beach bar and discover a surprising level of exciting musical talent. A place to kick back and groove to the enticing soundtrack of the most unexpected vacations around. With nothing but good vibes floating through the warm ocean air. Plan your own music-filled trip to America's jukebox at visitmyrtlebeach.com.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.